book of Romans, chapter 4. No, chapter 2, I'm sorry. Chapter 2, verse 12. Romans chapter 2, verse number 12. Romans 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are just before God, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, verse 13, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to preach tonight. Perhaps if some folks still traveling, get in here safely. We think particularly Robin Lynn, but there's maybe some others too, being delayed, being hindered, get them here safely. Help me as I preach. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I do pray again for Brother Alex. I do pray, Lord, you take away that pain and discomfort and strengthen him. And we also pray for any others that might be suffering from various infirmities. Lord, we ask for your hand upon the church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I concluded last week with 10 principles of God's judgment. 10 principles of God's judgment by William Newell. And I'll kind of pick up where I left off last week. First, it's according to truth. God's judgment is according to truth. Verse 2. We are sure the judgment of God is according to truth. It's inescapable. God's judgment is inescapable. Verse 3. He says, thinkest thou that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Of course, the answer is no. Nobody can escape the judgment of God. It's inescapable. Thirdly, it's sometimes delayed. Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Notice long-suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. So God's justice, his judgment, sometimes seems to be delayed because God's long-suffering and merciful and so on. So it's sometimes delayed. God's judgment is measured out according to the accumulation of guilt. And we saw that in verse 5, where we have a picture of sinners literally treasuring up, storing up for themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And then next is according to works. Verse 6, God will render to every man according to his deeds, or according to his works. Nextly, we see that it's according to privilege or life received. And I'll say more about that this evening, too, when we continue in Romans chapter 2. God's judgment is according to life or privilege, privileges or light received. Verse number 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. Now in this context, the Jew has certain privileges the Gentiles didn't have. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Jews had the prophets, the Jews had the law, the Jews had the word of God, and so on. So there's privileges there. So according to privileges or light received. Next is without respect of persons. Verse 11. For there's no respect of persons with God. Next is according to performance, not knowledge. Verse number 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So it's based upon performance, not knowledge. A lot of people know the word of God, or in this case the law, but they don't do it. They're not, they're hearers, but not doers. And then next, it will take into account the secrets of men's heart. Verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And I'll say more about that in a few minutes also. And finally, it's according to reality, not religious profession. Now that is from verse 17 to the end of the chapter, and I think we'll have to wait to really elaborate on that. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So these are the 10 principles of God's judgment that we looked at last week by William Newell, but I review that again. Now the book of Romans teaches, the book of Romans stresses that God judges sin.
Now I can think about it. The whole Bible stresses that.
I've been going through the book of Revelation over at Bible Baptist Church in Jackson Heights, and you can't help but notice when you study the book of Revelation how God judges sin. You know, the wrath of the Lamb, and the seals judgments, the trumpet judgments, the vial judgments. God is just pouring out his wrath. The battle of Armageddon, the second coming of Christ, the great emphasis on God judging sin. And the book of Romans clearly teaches this also. Go to chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. We don't hear much talk about that or preaching about that these days. People kind of don't want to think about it. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Or literally, who hold down the truth, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And then also, if you go with me also to verse 32. The very last verse in chapter 1. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. What things? All the things mentioned here. All the things listed here. Homosexuality, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. All these different sins. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So the book of Romans certainly emphasizes that God does judge sin. Now, man is without excuse, we're told in chapter 1, verse 20, the very end of the verse, so that they are without excuse. And then we started chapter 2 last week, sort of the same thing, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. Man has no excuse. Now, men like to make excuses. And I've heard plenty of excuses over the years. In fact, I'm guilty of making a few myself. People make excuses. But, you know, the Bible says without excuse. When it comes to the judgment of God, there's no excuse. Man is inexcusable. And sinners cannot escape the judgment of God. We saw that in verse 3. And it's the righteous judgment of God. We saw that in verse 5. It's for all, Jew and Gentile alike. We see that here in chapter 2 as well. To the Jew first and also the Gentile. And so it's God's righteous judgment. It's for all. I guess my major point I want to make tonight is that God judges fairly. God is fair. Now, in this world, sometimes judgment's not fair. I'm sure if you've heard of situations where someone goes to court and it was a bad ruling, a bad decision. Maybe the judge was unfair, or maybe the prosecuting attorney, the jury. A lot of people make mistakes. Sometimes it's corruption. Sometimes there's a lot of wheeling and dealing going on. A lot of times it's unfair, but not when it comes to God's courtroom. God always judges fairly. Now, W.H. Griffith Thomas said this, the standard of judgment for the Jew will be the law of Moses, but the standard for the Gentile will be the law of conscience. That's an interesting statement, but I think he's right. And I think chapter 2 teaches this. And I'll repeat that, if you never really thought about that. The standard of judgment for the Jew will be the law of Moses, but the standard for the Gentile will be the law of conscience. Now, sinners often complain that God is not fair. For example, I remember a few years ago, we went through the whole book of Ezekiel on Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday night, went through Ezekiel. It took a while, but we got through it. And one thing you'll remember, if you hear what we were going through that, is the people in Ezekiel's day kept saying, the way of the Lord is not equal. Now, what they meant by that is, God is unfair. The way of the Lord is unfair. That's Ezekiel 18:25, Ezekiel 18:29, Ezekiel 33:17, Ezekiel 33:20. They kept saying it over and over again. The way of the Lord is unequal, or the way of the Lord is unfair. But God had to remind them, hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Or you could say, is not my way fair? Yes, of course, God is always fair. God always judges fairly. He said, hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? In other words, they were the ones that weren't fair. They were the ones that weren't right. And they were trying to accuse God of being unfair. And Ezekiel had to straighten them out. So tonight we're going to see God is always fair, and God always judges fairly. And the first thing I want to say tonight, and we already touched upon it, men are judged according to the light God has given them. And that's a principle we see all throughout the Word of God. Men are not saved by the light they have, but they're certainly going to be judged by the light they have. Romans chapter 2, verse 15, says those without the moral law of God. Now, when we talk about those without the moral law of God, we're talking about the Gentiles. Those without the moral law of God shall be judged according to the work of the law written in their hearts. Did you see that? Verse 15. These folks, these Gentiles, they didn't have the law of Moses, but they're going to be judged according to the law written in their hearts. Now, who wrote that in their hearts? Well, God did, of course. Men have these basic moral concepts which underlie the law, for God's moral laws have been handed down from antiquity. That's right. God's moral laws have been handed down from generation to generation from antiquity. Consider Joseph's brothers. We looked at this past Sunday. Think about that. Think of that story of Joseph and his brothers. They did not have the law of Moses. Did they? When did Moses go up on Mount Sinai and get the law?
Book of Exodus.
When do we read about Joseph and his brothers?
Book of Genesis.
Therefore, they did not have the law. They lived hundreds of years before the law. Right? So Joseph's brothers did not have the law of Moses. They lived over 200 years before God gave the law to Moses. Now look at Genesis 42. We'll just do a little review here, not much, because I reckon most of you were here on Sunday, and if not, you can always listen to it on the internet, thanks to Sister Phyllis. Genesis chapter 42, verse 21, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. They felt guilty. They knew they were guilty, though they had no exposure to the law. There was no law back then. We are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we were not here. Therefore is this distress come upon us. In other words, they knew they were being judged by God because of the way they mistreated their brother. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? So they knew they were sinners. Reuben said, didn't I say, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. They understood that principle too. Interesting. When you consider, they understood the law of retribution. A biblical principle. A biblical law. The law of retribution. And by the way, I think I mentioned this Sunday, this is the only instance in the book of Genesis where you see somebody admitting they sinned. Only instance you see of somebody admitting they sinned. The whole book, 50 chapters, the only time. Now, this is the law of retribution. Their conscience was bothering them 20 years after they sold Joseph into slavery. Romans chapter 2, verse 15 says, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now, if men have sinned without law, then they shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So let me back up and read to you that quote from Griffin Thomas. The standard of judgment for the Jew will be the law of Moses, but the standard for the Gentile will be the law of conscience. Now look at Romans 2:15. Go back to Romans, chapter 2, 15. Romans 2, verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. The Gentiles have the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So, if men have sinned without the law, then they shall also perish without the law. And verse 12 says, as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now the Bible says the word perish most of the time, and certainly here in Romans chapter 2, verse 12. Perish means they're going to go to hell for their sin. That's what the word means most of the time. That's what it means in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Look at Romans 2:12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. For as many as have sinned without law shall also go to hell without the law. That's what this is teaching. By the way, this reminds me, we need to get the gospel out around the world. Sinners are condemned. With or without the word of God, they're condemned. The Bible's very clear about that. Perish means they're going to go to hell for their sin. And I believe that's a very strong argument for foreign missions. And it's sad many churches do not emphasize missions. I've heard people tell me, I've been going to Baptist church for a couple of years. I never even saw a missionary. Huh? Imagine that? I've heard people tell me, I was going to Baptist church for years. They have no missions program, no faith promise, nothing. No missions conference. Some churches go year after year without a missions conference. Huh? And yet we see right here in the Bible, people without the word of God, they're going to be judged according to the light that God has given them. They have the conscience bearing witness. If they die without Christ, they're going to go to hell. Missionaries, by the way, missionaries all over the world have testified. I've heard people say this to me. I've heard them say it from the pulpit. I've read these kind of things. But missionaries all over the world have testified that primitive people, I mean primitive, go way out into the jungles and so on, they already know it's wrong to steal. It's wrong to kill. It's wrong to lie. Even though they said they never saw a Bible, never met a Christian, never been to church, how do they know that? Well, that's what Paul's saying right here. They say they have the work of the law written in their hearts, verse 15. Their conscience also bearing witness. Now, in addition to their conscience, by the way, Gentiles have the witness of God in creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has revealed himself to mankind through creation. By the way, have you noticed there's such an attack on God's creation? I mean, it's everywhere. Evolution, Mother Earth, and Earth worship, this fanatical environmentalism, this global warming nonsense. There's such an attack on God as our creator. Men think they're responsible for the weather now. Listen, God sends the rain, God sends the sunshine, God sends the snow. Men think he can do anything now. He can turn a man into a woman, huh? Turn a woman into a man? He can change the weather now? Huh? The president actually gave a speech to the Coast Guard Academy and said the biggest threat we face is global warming. Can you imagine that? Never mind ISIS? And all these other Muslim terrorists chopping heads off? He thinks the biggest threat we face is the weather? God help us, I'm telling you. These are perilous times. So in addition to their conscience, Gentiles have the witness of God in creation. They have the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore, they're morally responsible. They're responsible. Now, here's another thing. Every man is born with a certain measure of life. Every man is born with a certain measure of life. I'll give you a verse. John chapter 1, verse 9. John 1:9 says, Jesus was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Get that? Jesus has lighted every man. Every single man, woman, boy, girl in this world has some measure of light, according to John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, when people respond to that light, God gives more light. But when people turn away from that light, well, then they go into darkness, and that's a very dangerous thing. I'll give you a good example from the Bible. In Acts chapter 10, verse 2, we see that Cornelius, now remember, he was a Gentile. Cornelius never saw a Bible. Cornelius had been to a Baptist church. Huh? No, he was a Gentile, he was a heathen. But the Bible says in Acts 2, he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. Think about that. He was a Gentile, a heathen. And what happened? because of that, God gave him more light. And then he sent Peter to preach to him. And then when Peter preached, Cornelius and his whole household got saved. They responded to the light that God had given them, and God gave them more light, and they were saved. And by the way, the book of Acts has similar conversions like that. You read about Lydia and the Philippian jailer and Ethiopian eunuch. There's a lot of interesting conversions like that. God has given them some light, and then they responded to that light, and God gave them more light, and they got saved. But on the other hand, those who reject God's light are going to be judged severely. I give you many examples of that too, but let's just go to Mark 6 right now. Mark chapter 6. When people respond to the light, God gives more light. Cornelius is a notable example. But when people reject the light, turn away from the light, well, they're in trouble. Mark 6, verse 10. Mark chapter 6, verse 10. Jesus said, "In what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Because of the light they had, the privileges they had. The apostles went and spoke to them. Jesus preached to them, but they wouldn't listen. He said, "Shake off the dust under your feet for testimony against them. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city." The principle is this: the greater the privileges, the greater the responsibility. Well, let's move on here. We're kind of moving along. So, men are judged according to the light God has given them. Secondly, men are not justified by hearing the law. Verse number 13. "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Now again, here's another important biblical principle. Knowing the law is one thing, but not obeying the law is a serious matter. Not obeying the law dishonors God. Dishonors God when people don't obey the Lord. Look at, we're going to jump ahead a little bit. Go to Romans 2:23. "Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God." So people who know the law but don't obey the law or break the law, they dishonor God. Now, the law is insufficient to justify sinners before God. And we're going to get into this in great detail as we go further into Romans. Book of Romans emphasizes that the law is insufficient to justify sinners. And the problem is many people hear the law, but they don't obey the law. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." What does that tell you? A lot of religious people are deceived. They're deceiving their own selves. Many people, especially the Jews, in this context of Romans 2, Paul's talking about the proud Jew who had the law, and he boasted in the law, and they were deceived. Here's another one. I'm very familiar with this passage because my wife was spending quite a bit of time studying this passage. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." Notice, wise man not only hears the word of God, but he obeys the word of God. He does what the Bible says. But a foolish man hears the sayings of mine and doeth them not. Our Lord said, he shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Matthew 7, 24-27. Here's another one. Galatians 3:10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, regarding our text here in Romans chapter 2, A.C. Gabelein says something that I found very interesting. He said the entire passage, meaning Romans 2, with the judgment of a righteous God and that neither the Gentile without the law nor the Jew with the law is righteous before God, but that both classes must fall under the judgment of God. And there is a day appointed when this righteous judgment will be executed by the Son of Man, our Lord. And that none can be just by doing it is seen in Paul's defense of the gospel. In other words, the book of Romans, the theme of Romans is the gospel of God. And the book of Romans lays it out. No one can be just a keeper of the law. And you can't be saved by just hearing the law. You're not justified by hearing the law. And no one can keep the law. And so none can be just by keeping the law is seen in Paul's defense of the gospel. Let's move on. So we have here, men are judged according to the light God has given them. Men are not justified by hearing the law. And then next thing is very interesting tonight. God shall judge the secrets of men. Verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You know, men like to hide things and cover up things, but God is going to bring it all to light. In the day when God's going to rip the cover off. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. Secret, terrible things that men think no one's ever going to find out about. It's all going to come out. Now, Psalm 44, verse 21 says, God knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knoweth the secrets of the heart. Romans chapter 2, by the way. Let's look at our text tonight. Romans 2. Look at verse 13. And then the beginning of verse 13. And look at verse 15, the end of the verse. What do you notice there? It's in parentheses. Notice that? It's in parentheses. So here's really what it's saying now. Take out the part that's parenthetical. In parentheses. Verse 16 follows verse 12. Because 13, 14, 15 is in parentheses. Here we go. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Talking about the day, the judgment day when God is going to judge the secrets of men. There's a day appointed. God has it on in his calendar. We don't know the day. God knows. It's in his calendar. It's appointed by God, a day appointed when the righteous judgment of God is going to be executed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's something that everyone should understand. The Lord Jesus is going to be the judge. Look, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Now there are many verses which teach this. Apostle Paul said in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, that God commanded all men everywhere to repent because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men and that he hath raised him from the dead. Who's that man whom God raised from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he says he's appointed a day. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man. That man he raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Lord himself referred to this in John chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus said, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Ever think about that? Jesus said, Father's not going to judge anyone. He's given all judgment to me. He's committed all judgment unto the Son. I think the reason for that is our Lord is the perfect judge because he's both God and man. Who's better qualified?